Hey, Mr. One Stop. I'm looking for a record and it goes like this. Dun 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 dun.
Welcome to Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I'm Jerry Seinfeld.
No. That's right. Not it.
Okay.
Try again.
Take six. Welcome to Carpool Karaoke. I'm James Gordon. I'm here with my special guest, Lady Gaga.
No, Pat.
You look
that's
like,
not it.
Well, you do look like Lady Gaga.
I know, but that's only because I put on a lot of makeup this morning.
All right, okay, start over.
Okay.
Take 12.
Hi, I'm Jay Leno, and this is Jay Leno's Garage.
No, Pat, stop. No, we're still not getting it.
We're in a car, aren't we?
We are in a car.
But it doesn't work. Okay.
No, try again.
Take 36.
Hi. I'm Daryl, and this is my brother Larry, and this is my other brother Larry.
You've been doing that all weekend. You're so committed to that bit, and you're still getting it wrong.
Well, for all the fans, the Bob Newhart fans out there, I think they'd appreciate it. Well, yes. Aren't we in Vermont right now? Where are we?
We're close. We're in New York.
You're in New York?
Yeah.
Are we going to cross into Vermont? Probably not.
Not this trip.
Okay.
Not this way.
All right. Okay.
Try again. You can do it.
Take 42. Welcome to Addicted to the Needle. I'm Patrick Foisy, the addict, and I'm with my dealer.
That doesn't work either because
yeah,
I'm also
true.
An addict. So
yeah, Ben's not here.
Yeah, Ben's
okay.
not here.
All right. Okay. Take 89. Welcome to Addicted to the Needle, the podcast where two addicts are in a car recording a podcast.
Yes. Nailed it. That's it.
All right.
That's it. Exactly.
All right. I am Patrick Foisy, the addict, and you are?
I'm Maud Marty, the other addict.
Yes. All right. So we're in my very comfortable black Toyota Prius recording this podcast. We're on Highway 87?
87. It's called the Through Pass. Or is it the
Throughway?
Throughway.
Is it? We don't know the lingo.
Apparently, it's very embarrassing to say Highway 87 in New York. That's what I'm told.
So 87 north, going north.
Yeah.
I don't see any upcoming little towns.
No.
We went through New Paltz, Newburgh.
Yeah, that was we stopped at Newburgh and
Poughkeepsie.
We're somewhere around Poughkeepsie.
I think we passed Poughkeepsie
and Troy area.
So we should be near Albania soon.
Yeah.
All right.
We're on our
way. So the addicts out there might not believe us that we're actually recording this podcast in a car. So I'm going to sound the horn just to prove it. I don't know if they're going to hear it.
Oh, right? Man, that guy's flipping the bird at you. Oh, sorry, dude. Sorry.
And it's a New Yorker. They don't take no crap. All right. So, hey, we're on the highway. My cruise control is set at 66 miles per hour, and so we're actually speeding down the highway.
Woohoo!
This podcast is brought to you by PodTrack, the PodTrack P4, because you don't need to plug into anything. You just need your two microphones and that little PodTrack, the size of
a very large vibrator.
No, that's a microphone.
That's what I'm holding in my hands.
A pocketbook.
Yeah, what's a pocketbook?
you know, those...
A purse? That's another word for a purse.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Anyway.
it looks like a brick. It's about like a brick.
Yeah, a bit smaller than a brick.
Yeah.
And I have to thank one of our favorite listeners, Gabe Besaw, for turning me to...
Redeem this. Hooligan.
Oh, yeah, on Instagram.
Redeem check him out. Hooligan.
On Instagram. So check him out. He suggested I check this little equipment. And, we've had the pod track for at least a year.
And I'm now remembering that we used this to record the episode when we were in Toronto.
Yeah, in the hotel room.
Yeah, in the hotel room.
So go check out episode... I don't know which one, but
it was episode
right. But this is our first one in a car.
Whee!
it's very easy to record. So obviously we're not going to drink. We're not going to have beer, but I have my Monster energy drink. So I want to stay alert. So hey, here, and take the mic.
This is becoming a regular thing on the show, and it needs to happen. It's very important to have the sound start things out. Oh yeah, there it is. There it is. Oh, and then yes,
perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So the reason why we're traveling the United States, it's because.
That stuff stinks.
It smells like a grape, you know, a bad grape soda.
Yeah, an antifreeze.
That too. But oh boy, just kicked in. Oh, here we are.
Okay, we're Catskill.
Exit 21, Catskill, Cairo. Cairo, in a mile and a half.
Yeah, right near New Lebanon, isn't it?
That's right, I believe. I know our friends from New York will know exactly where we are. You can follow us on Google Maps.
That would be great. What a good idea.
So why are we traveling, my dear friend?
We are traveling because we spent this weekend, well, aside from traveling, we spent this weekend in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, at the Keystone Weekender, the sixth Keystone Weekender, spinning 45s, Northern Soul, and more than anything else, buying records.
Mostly buying records, and then playing them.
Yeah.
So... thanks to Julio Hernandez, right?
Yep.
For Julio having Hernandez. Us at the, it was the sixth edition, I believe, of the Northern Soul Keystone Northern Soul Weekender. Switch it around. I was supposed to attend last year. But you all know that story, don't you? Yeah, you have to go back a few dozen episodes, I guess, a year ago. And I couldn't make it because I wanted to travel in my non-gas guzzling Prius.
It's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid.
So it does guzzle gas, but it also does what batteries do.
Yeah.
And so, you remember that story.
So I wanted to travel, and for one of the main reasons is that you get to. Dig for records. Here, I'm going to change lanes for a second.
Yeah, don't get us killed.
So, I wanted to dig along the way, and you can't do that when you fly.
No.
So, the thing is, because of the COVID restrictions, they were opening the borders, the land borders, for the first time between Canada and the States on the Monday following the Weekender. Yeah. The luck I get.
Unacceptable.
But we did get lucky on this trip, though. And this is what this episode is going to be all about. So, Marty, you flew in.
I did. I flew in the day before we left. So I flew in from Winnipeg, and which is generally... It's usually like a two-hour flight. So it's not that far in the air. But I had to do a connecting flight, so there were two flights, and it ended up snowing, and there was ice rain, so those flights all got delayed. Essentially, it took me all day to fly from Winnipeg to Montreal, but I got there just in time for you getting back from work and us...
just hopping into the car, putting our records in the
car boot. No, we went for dinner first.
What's that?
That was the next day. The night I arrived, we went for dinner.
That's right.
And then we went to bed. And then we woke up. And
I had to go to work.
Yeah, you had to go to work the next morning. And I went out and went to my favorite restaurant spot. Which...
Le Frier.
Yeah, that's what... Le Oufery.
Le Frier. It's a... That's what I said.
Le Oufery.
Yeah, that, sure.
The egg place.
Yeah.
That's an
where
exact
you can
translation.
Get a breakfast poutine.
Which is exactly what I had. Breakfast poutine. But instead of gravy, it was hollandaise. So it was so good. I'm craving it right now. I'm probably going to have it for breakfast tomorrow.
So check one and two. We talked about records and of food. So
we're well on
officially
the way.
A Addicted to the Needle podcast.
Yeah. And then we headed out like as quickly as we could.
Right. Headed for the border.
Yes.
So we left Montreal around 12:30 noon.
Yeah, and we had originally planned to find a motel to stay at on the way, but
yeah, we were offered some a nice couch and a nice blow up mattress,
a place to kip at.
From our good buddy Gabe Esau. How nice. So he lives in North Adams, Massachusetts.
Yeah, and so right? Patrick says we're going to stay at this guy Gabe's place. And I'm like, okay, cool. And he's like, yeah, he probably follows your show, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, well, that's cool. So we're driving along, and we're looking for places to
dig along
dig
the
at,
way.
Yeah. And... essentially, between where we were, like between Montreal and
our first stops,
yeah, what Grands Falls was
Glens Falls, New York.
There's nothing to dig at there. So our first stop was in Glens Falls.
Yeah, addicts out there, don't bother.
Yeah, there's nothing between Montreal and Glens Falls. So we went looking on Discogs has a part of the app which is called the Hub, and it's essentially where to find record stores wherever you are, and it told us to go to this record shop, and we had a little bit of trouble finding it. It was sort of in a weird sort of industrial area, and we're like, is that the front door? I don't know. Is that the front door? And Patrick's like, I've been here. I didn't find anything.
Weren't we next door, and it was a funeral parlor or something?
Yeah. And then we felt, there it is. And so we found parking, and we walked. Patrick was at the car. I ran in so I could get there in front of him.
Yeah, there's some friendly competition between the two of us.
Yeah, it's actually really hard to shop with other record collectors.
But we haven't killed each other yet.
There's been tears. There's been screaming.
A bit of scratching.
I had one moment where I dropped to the floor and just started screaming, crying, pounding the floor. It actually happened at the shop.
Well, evidence that we're still friends. We're recording this on Monday on the way back, so yeah. we're still alive.
This was the test, though. If anybody ever says, how do you test a relationship? Go on a road trip,
right?
And if you really want to test it, go on a road trip with another collector and go digging, because that's like.
And
okay,
if you really
want
to put your relationship to the test. Go digging with a mod.
Yeah.
That's
tough.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you run for the door.
Yeah.
And as soon as you pass the door, you head straight.
Straight for the wall, which has boxes of 45s on the floor. So I'm like instantly just face the wall, drop down to go through the boxes and Patrick saunters in behind me.
And I grab the second box.
Yep.
And as soon as I do, and we're you know, elbows deep into dusty 45s.
We hear, "Park up, Pat?"
And I turn around. No, I'm the first one.
Oh, you were the first one to notice? Yeah. Okay.
I turn around, and I see this big fellow smiling, and I go, "Ed?" And then he turns around. Park a Pat. So it's my buddy Ed that I thought lived in Troy, New York. And I had seen that. Well, by the way, on the last episode, or the previous episode, two episodes ago, yeah, I featured a great Northern Soul track on Pharaoh by The Enchantments, "I'm in Love with Your Daughter." That record came from Ed, from that collection, from that store. And so I was surprised to see Ed there. I thought he was just visiting a buddy, but apparently we were in his shop. His shop was based in Troy, but apparently not. So it's in Glens Falls.
Right. So he's like, and then I introduced myself and he knew who I was, and then he's like, "Oh no, I've got 45 collectors in the shop and I don't have 45s." Although he did. He
no, had the boxes first thing down. He said was, "We have Canadian royalty."
Well, I wasn't
going
to blow our own horn, but I guess you're going to do that.
Well, if you go on Instagram, that's exactly what he said too. He repeated the quote. So here we are. And so Ed felt bad that we're just going through dollar 45s. So he goes, "Oh, I have a special stash in the back where the enchantment record came from." So he brought out two big cardboard boxes.
And this is where it's like, it's a 50-50 split. So I get one box, Patrick gets the other box. But Patrick has some kind of magic touch that whichever box it is that you end up getting is the one that has gold in it.
That's because I'm French.
Oh, okay.
I have that touch.
And because I'm Jewish, I guess, is because I don't. Great. Oh, anti-Semite.
So. Oh, no, wait. I just veered off the road here. So. We each, you know, every time you find a record that you don't necessarily recognize, you put it aside. And we had your trusty Soundburger with us.
That is correct.
To listen to anything that we don't know. So a little pile was, piling up. Records were piling up. And we were each taking turns at the Soundburger. So when my turn came around, as soon as I saw something on OK, I went, "OK, maybe I should listen to this. Great soul label." So I dropped the needle on it, and I go, not bad.
And I almost hurt myself because I was crouched down, and I spun around and jumped up at the same time. Because I recognized it right away.
And your eyes, like, if they could kill.
I'm like, "Oh, that's on top of my want list."
And I went, "Oh, well, that didn't pan out necessarily the best for me, because that just flagged the record for Ed." And Ed whipped out his cell phone to go and check out the price. So it happened to be a very expensive Northern Soul record.
I don't feel bad about this at all.
But, hey, I have to tell you, Ed did cut me one hell of a deal. So I have no complaints. He hooked me up. He's the best. So this is going to be the first record we're going to feature. Oops. We're actually going to play it in the car. We're going to do a little editing magic, and I'm going to re-record it at home. But we're going to listen to it right now so we can talk about it.
So, Marty, you want, since it was at the top of your want list, you want to introduce the track?
Yeah, so this track is called Come Back by Ken Williams.
On the OK label.
On the OK label. Listen to that, I feel a little bit of rage.
and in the track, it does he does say, I'm dropping to my knees. So that's exactly what you did.
I absolutely did. And I almost tried to outbid you on it, but I held myself back.
Yeah, so in our negotiations with Ed, I had no idea what this record was worth. So it's worth a pretty penny. It's not a $2 record. So,
but then
I turned to obviously Marty knew the value of this record, so he turned to Marty, and we had a reference because Ed was on his phone, and I looked at Marty going, well, how much should I offer? Anyway,
like, don't look at me.
I'm just gonna outbid you. So it ended on a handshake, and I'm very happy with this.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And the weird part about this this 45, it has a different artist on the B side, right?
Yeah, I've never paid attention to the other side. It's not a great B side.
Yeah, so you just I put it away. You put it away.
Sorry,
but it was in the beautiful original OK sleeve.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were surprised I didn't own an original sleeve.
Yeah.
So I was, and how beautiful of a copy was that?
Yeah, and it's in like, great shape. The only thing is that there's X's on that side, and it's the B side. But obviously it's a promo, so it went to a radio station probably, and the radio station said, no, this is the side that we should play, because it's or the promoter, depending on who had the pen in their hand at the time.
Right.
But so what happened then is that I had found a stack of that stuff that I liked, which is the bottom line of how I shop for records. I don't care how much they are. I just want something that I enjoy listening to, or I would play out or on my radio show on Target, which is on the Face Radio. And
yeah, go ahead.
On targetpodcast.ca will take you right to the site.
The Massachusetts Turnpike, Boston, 1 mile.
Boston?
For all of you following us on Google Maps.
We're about to pass the turnpike that would take us to Boston if we went west. So I got a short stack that I was happy with, and we got back to, I think it was the next day that I discovered what I had picked up. So what I picked up there was a Northern Soul track that I liked but didn't know what I had gotten until I started to input it into Discogs. And there's more to this story too, which I will tell later, but I'm going to play for you the track that I picked up. So it's on the Motown label, and it's a promo, and if it looks like, I may be wrong about this, it looks like it never made it to production. It looks like it was only put out on promo. Label. Barbara McNair, You're Gonna Love My Baby.
Although it may surprise you, I've come here to advise you to be there when he needs you, go on where he leads you. I was a fool to hurt him, so wrong to just desert him. Life's not the same without him. Something warm about him. You're gonna love my baby. You're gonna love my baby. And I'm so sad that I could die. I still love him. He's not the kind to leave you, use you and then deceive you. I know, 'cause I was there once, had his love to share once. When the world upsets you, his arms will come to get you. And every time you kiss him, you know why.
Scored.
Yeah, so just keep in mind as we talk about what happens for the rest of the weekend that this is in my box now. So what happened next? We scored, we were feeling really good, we were...
I think we both played those records during the weekender, didn't we?
I didn't end up playing it in my sets, no, but it was requested.
Really? Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, that's part of the story that I'll go into later because that happened last night.
All right. Okay. Probably in that's going to end up in part two.
Yeah.
So I played my the Ken Williams on Saturday night.
Yeah, that went over well.
I had a set on Friday, on Saturday, and on Sunday afternoon, and I did play my Ken Williams, and I think it went down pretty well. So, I think this episode is going to be mainly centered around soul because that was the theme of the
soul
weekend.
Weekender. You bet.
All right. So, walked out of Ed's place and headed for Gabe's abode.
Right. So this meant driving through rural New Hampshire, Vermont, New York. How many states did we cross?
So I think we crossed through four states in a span of about 15 minutes.
Yeah, we're like right where Vermont, New York, and
New Hampshire and Massachusetts.
Massachusetts were all meet to get to North Adams. And it was snowing.
That's when my bit, my...
we're driving through Vermont. And
I'm Daryl. This is my brother Larry. And this is my other brother Larry.
Oh, that's not what you said at the time. It was, I'm Daryl, and this is my other brother Daryl. That was the extent of it. And remembering the show, I was okay with that. Like, I knew what the reference was, and that was very funny.
I convinced you to
go along with it.
Go along with the bit.
I was yes-anding him. That's what I do.
Yeah, you're a great sidekick. So,
whoa, I thought you were the sidekick. Okay. No, is that? I'm Batman. You're Robin, right? Is that no?
Did we say this in a previous episode?
Did we?
At one point?
Possibly.
So Gabe and I have been friends online for a while. We've been trading records. He's been enjoying the podcast, but we were meeting for the first time.
Yeah, and Patrick's like, he's on Instagram. We're about a half an hour away, and he's on Instagram. You should follow him. So I look him up on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, it's Redeem Hooligan. I totally know who this is. So, like, I instantly have a face in my head because he puts pictures of himself on his Instagram, and now I know who we're going to visit, and I start to get a little bit nervous because, the Instagram celebrity or whatever.
Right. And here I am convincing you to do this bit for the first time we're ever going to meet Gabe. So I told him... Yeah, we're going to ring the door, and we're going to do the New York.
I'm Larry, and this is my other brother, Larry.
So he opens the door, and here I am. Hi, I'm Larry, and this is my other brother, Larry.
Which he laughed at.
Yes, but then
made a welcome, eh? Like a Canadian joke back. So I'm like, maybe he didn't get it. Maybe he thought we were talking about something else, but it's okay. Very friendly and very,
very
gracious.
Welcoming. And I just want to jump right to
your dream.
My dream that night. So I'm, you know, off to the dreamland, and I'm dreaming that I screw up the bit that I.
And the weird thing is, wait a sec before you say. The weird thing is, when he fell asleep and I was trying to go to sleep, I was thinking about it too, and I thought, oh no, I don't think that's it. But he's so committed to this bit that I can't tell him what the real thing is. And then the next day he's like, I had this weird dream. So go ahead.
That, the actual bit is, hi, I'm
I'm
Daryl.
Please,
hi, I'm Daryl. And this is my brother Larry, and this is my other brother.
And I'm
Larry.
Like, that's still not right. I'm pretty sure it's, hi, I'm Larry, and this is my brother Daryl, and my other brother Daryl. And we're so like, oh, we've really butchered this. Like, it's
and
just destroyed.
That's when Gabe kicked us out. No, we had a great talk. Lovely wife and kids.
Yeah.
What a gracious host. We totally appreciate it. He's going to notice there's a few records missing from his collection in the following weeks.
And we were talking about leaving in the next morning, and he was going to get up really early to go and meet up with his buddy David.
That I knew already.
Yeah, I didn't know David, but I, having met him now, I have seen pictures of him before. But so, and I got to tell this side of the story because this to me is hilarious and a little heartbreaking. I feel bad about it, but. He's like, okay, so yeah, we'll get up early. I'll make everybody breakfast. It'll be, you know, we'll go out and blah, blah, blah. And then the next morning we get up. I'm looking around. I'm like, well, there's coffee. And I'm like, I guess he's not making breakfast. That's totally fine. He's been incredibly gracious all the way along and everything. And so he goes off, and we're getting ready to go off. And then later on, he tells me...
Well, we do have to say, they were heading, Gabe and David, they were heading to the Keystone Weekender, like us.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mention
as
that.
As dancers.
That's right, yeah, just as attendees. And
because they're both DJs also.
Yeah.
Great DJs, by the way.
And... He tells me that he didn't want to make breakfast for us because I'm Jewish, and he was afraid he was going to offend me in some way by making bacon or something. So I was like, oh no, I feel so bad that we didn't like talk more in depth about it, because it would have been absolutely fine. Because of the rule that if you're in somebody else's house, you eat whatever they serve you, even if it's not kosher. And so... I feel bad.
That's
about
why
that,
every time you come over, I do bacon pie.
That's right. He's like, yeah, you eat this pork and cream sauce.
It's a Quebec tradition. And nobody knows about bacon pie.
But the that sort of leads into our issue with breakfast as the trip goes on.
That's a running gag for ages.
So we're looking for our first record Diggins stop, and we end up in
the Catskills.
The Catskills.
Well, so, Catskills.
Yeah. And so we're going, but we know that we're going to have breakfast, and then we're going to go and dig. But we park right in front of this antiques place, and it's 10:30, quarter after 10, something like that. And we go into the antiques place and...
Right across the street from the record
shop. But we knew we were going to eat breakfast first. Because breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And for me, I have to start my day with food in my stomach and coffee.
Unlike me, who's a camel and
eating
for
very difficult to travel days. With this dude when it comes to food.
Well, no, I'm not. Well, I'm not difficult. It's the exact opposite. I don't need anything.
Right. It's difficult for me because I have needs. And I'm a little neurotic. And there's a bunch of, I've got a short list I could tell you, but you can imagine. Okay, we gotta change direction here. My phone's talking to us.
See, no editing. This is live.
This is live. So make sure you stay right.
So coming up.
We're hitting Albany now.
Yeah.
So if you're following us on Google Maps, we're in Albany.
We're crossing the 90 to Buffalo.
Yeah.
And we don't want to go there because they got 6 foot of snow.
Snowstorm over the weekend. And we're like, so far, there's no snow here whatsoever.
No, we're lucky.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't be holding a microphone while driving.
Yeah, if we were on this incredible snowstorm, but Patrick has managed to.
I have to go back to the beginning of our friendship and liking breakfast. It's been a saying
since day one.
Since day one, and that's hashtag eggs are awesome.
Which I think we also said in unison on the last episode we did together.
Yeah, that's right. Go back.
But it's true. It's true. Eggs are awesome and necessary, especially when traveling.
22 lanes to take exit 24 for I-87 North, I-90 East toward Albany, Montreal.
All right. So we're taking I-87 North.
Albany, okay. Montreal. I've never been to Albany, Montreal before, but we're going
to use the turn signal.
Right.
All right.
Okay. So we're staying safe.
Lanes to take exit 24.
I don't know if the mic picks up the Google Maps.
I'm trying to make it. I'm gonna do it. It sounds good in my headphones, so it must be working.
3/4 of a mile.
All right. Thanks, Google Lady.
Thanks, Google Lady. She's been our rock through this entire trip. So we're in Catskill. We stop into an antique store where there are many 45s. There's a few boxes, and we go through them. And I guess this is where we're going to get into our next things to play, yes?
Yes, and a few boxes, and there were... I was surprised, during this whole trip, no crap, really. Everything yeah. was decent. And I asked the young lady behind the counter...
Very friendly.
Yeah, she was really nice, too. Great. And she says she's going to follow us on Instagram, so... Hey...
So, hi, if you're listening to the show, hi, and thank you for your great
help.
Service and help.
And she, I asked her, yeah, we're heading to Montreal, woo! So I asked her how much the 45s were, and she says, oh, $5 a piece, unless they're marked. And while I was... digging, there was one record I put on my in my pile that had an old stamp on the sleeve that said 77 cents.
Oh right.
So when I went to pay, I went, okay, so $5 each.
And she said, I'll honor whatever it says on the sleeve.
And I went, well, this says 77 cents. She went, yeah, okay, that's fine. She was so sweet. So the record I'm going to feature right now,
if I can grab it,
is the one that you actually flagged for me.
Oh, yeah.
And you went, that was right after I got my Ken Williams right under your nose.
Right.
So you were sort of hesitating, going... I don't know if I should
give this to you.
Give well, this to you.
If I didn't
it's
have
really
it.
Good. No, you would have kept it, yeah. obviously. But yeah, you were nice enough.
Right. So this is a track that I originally heard on the Blue Note Blue Juice compilation. And I always looked for it on Blue Note. Because I thought it was on Blue Note. But I guess it's some kind of mother company that also owns the Veep label. So it actually came out on the Veep label. And somehow I got the turntable turned around here, so I'm just going to... We do have a bit of limited room to move around, so that's... making this very... If you could just see me now, I'm balancing two records in one hand, the microphone and the turntable.
As we're passing this connectedy...
Yeah, we're also like in something that looks like the New Jersey Turnpike, and we're like...
Yes, connectedy, that's the next exit for all of you following us on Google Maps.
Okay, so this is Tina Britt with her version of Suki Suki, which I think was originally Arthur Connolly, am I right?
That's possible, yeah. And there's many versions.
Yeah.
But this one is a dancer.
Pretty special.
Be warned.
Thank you.
as a dancer.
It sure is. I play that out often. It's brilliant. I love it. And it's kind of, it's got a that gritty female vocalist kind of Laverne Baker, Etta James kind of grit to it that I like.
And I like the fact that we didn't even find it in a record store. We found it in an antique store.
Yeah.
So that's extra points for us.
Yes, indeed.
And you made out like a bandit too.
Yeah, I found some really interesting stuff. Like this is a track that I'm not even familiar with, or I wasn't familiar with. I've listened to it a couple of times now.
We were familiar with the label because I have something on it's Intrepid.
Yeah, it's Intrepid, but it's interesting because this track was written and produced by Jesse James, and it says also that it's from James Boy Music. So it's an entirely Jesse James production. So that sort of makes it make sense as to why it's so good. So the track's called Your Love Gets Sweeter Every Day by Bobby Newton and Tina Blount.
Let's hear it. In this case, I'm the Bobby and you're the Tina.
Okay, I accept that.
And, well, this is typical classic Northern Soul,
well,
is it not?
It's totally something I could imagine of hearing this weekend. Like, we could have heard this in the hall this weekend for sure.
Of course, at the Elks Lodge.
In Lancaster.
Lancaster.
Not Lancaster, Lancaster.
Whatever. You know, the telltale violin, typical of your classic Northern Soul.
And it's got
a duo.
We've also discovered just now that it's also double-sided. Yeah. The other side's also very good.
Because we played the wrong side in our on our Soundburger in this bumpy road going through Now we're going through Rush Hour in near Albany, New York.
Just passing Vischer Ferry Crescent.
For all of you,
if anybody knows who that is,
for all of you following us on Google Maps.
And so, okay, so we found some great stuff there, and she was very nice. We
antique place
needed to have breakfast. Back to the food. It's 11 o'clock. We find this lovely little place that served breakfast until 11 o'clock.
A few blocks away.
Yeah.
And this is downtown Catskill.
Yeah.
And it beautiful old downtown
gorgeous.
Main Street
yeah.
place. There was an old theater with the neon sign.
And I love that there's a synagogue there.
Oh, is that That's, was yeah. that the place?
Catskill, yeah. They had a huge synagogue, no churches. It was really interesting.
And we're all that, you know, in a 200-mile radius of Catskill is it's all, you know, vacation land for the rich people from New York to go and from the 50s and 60s. You could tell
classic.
Yeah.
I mean that's classic vacation spot.
Lake George and the Catskills, you know, the Adirondacks
it's
in
the
general.
Blackpool of Liverpool or Brighton Beach of
of the east coast of
New York State
of northern United States.
So anyways, we get there and we can't get breakfast. I mean, that's really the whole point of my story, is I couldn't have breakfast that
minutes
morning.
Minutes after they stopped serving breakfast.
Yes. And
minutes.
So I had a grilled cheese sandwich and a cinnamon bun, which was delicious. It was fantastic. They had good pickles
that
there.
That cinnamon roll also was heavenly. But we could have made the breakfast if we didn't stop.
Antique. That's exactly my point.
No, my point is the Santa's helpers right outside the door that were asking for funds for charity.
They accepted my Canadian toonie.
Right. And if we hadn't stopped and talked to those lovely young girls doing volunteer work, we would have had breakfast.
You like to place the blame on that, but the actual truth is, if we had waited to go to the antiques place till after breakfast, we would have had breakfast. Now,
yeah, but
I'm also
somebody would have walked in and swooped those records right under our nose.
All right, this is us. We're an old married couple, and this is how we talk to each other. Okay, so. That was great. We were ready to actually start the real digging. So we went to Spike's.
Right across the street?
Spike's Stacks. What is it called? I've actually got the bag here somewhere.
Yeah, Spike's.
Yeah, but it's called Spike's something else.
Spike's Record Stack.
Yeah.
Was that it?
Yes. No. Spike's Record Rack.
Record Rack. Oh, yeah.
And
that's another saying that we... we coined on this weekend. Nice rack.
Which is going to come back again later. and of course, I pushed... No. I needed to go find a drink. And you went to get change for parking at the antiques place. So I thought I'd go get a drink, meet you back at the parking spot. So I went, got a drink, go back to the parking spot. Nobody's around anywhere. And I'm like, oh, my God, he went inside without me. So I ran into the store. And there you were.
And I started digging, of course.
You bastard.
What was I supposed to do? Stay on the sidewalk and look like a chump?
But he also had informed everybody that worked there that I would come in furious that he had gotten there before me.
And right on cue, Marty walks in.
Like, thanks for waiting. And
stage left.
Was doing a chalky. Thanks for waiting.
Well, that's another bit we need to work on.
Yeah, our Quadrophenia bits. There's a few mods about.
And we found some great stuff there too.
Yeah, we did. And it was fun because the owner there didn't want us to use the Soundburger, so he wanted to play each record for us. So we got to really kind of both hear what we were getting and
on a good sound system.
It was very clear. It was very clear what we were bringing with us and what we were leaving behind, because twice this trip I've picked up my discard pile and brought it with me. The stuff I got from Ed, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I'm like, I'm sure I passed on this. Why is this here? I'm sure I passed on this. Why is this here? So, but it was, we made a way from there with some great stuff too, including a t-shirt and a
great t-shirt,
tote bag
and
stickers.
And the owner basically knew everybody we were going to spin with during the weekender.
He used to work for Connie T. Empress.
Yeah.
And that was
the
wild.
Empire Soul Club before.
Like before that.
Yeah, I think
45 years ago?
In the 80s.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying, oh, I've known them for 45 years. I'm like, you can't be more than 30.
But Connie from the Soul Finger A Night in New York.
Hi, Connie.
In Manhattan with our good friend Al Atchison.
Hi, Al.
She's a legend.
Oh, absolute.
She's a legend, so no wonder he knew her.
Yeah. So we were really happy, and we were now ready to move along, right? So we had to get to Lancaster before.
Yeah, but are we going to feature some records from Spikes? Yes, we are.
That's exactly what I was getting at. I've just,
because we just featured the records from the Antiques
other, yep.
Place,
yep.
And we each got a little stack from Spikes. Great deals again, you're picking out records.
I thought you
I
had
put
them in order.
All in order.
I thought you did. That's
so
right.
The one, you could tell by the price tag from Spikes.
Yeah, so somebody's written, I swear, I'm not even going to say that on there, bad word on the label.
No, it says cool.
How is that?
You think it stops with CK. It's not. It's COOL because, tell us the title.
Keep Your Cool. Terry and the Chain Reaction
on the United Artists. And the reason I picked out this record as my selection from Spikes is that I don't remember how it sounds. And
so it's going to be like hearing
it's
for the
surprise.
First time. Oh
yeah.
No, I've lost the center.
You saw the okay, we out. Lost the 45 adapter somewhere under the car seat.
This is going to sound really weird.
So we're going to do some editing magic.
If you're with this high-class chick and you run out of cash, oh. If you're real cool, man, you won't need that trash, yeah. If the man should get you parked with some real classic chassis, give him some fictitious name and just don't get sassy, yeah.
If you wanna be in the groove now, all you gotta do is keep your cool now.
Oh yeah, keep your cool. Yeah. Now if this chick's too serious and it's cramping your style,
hang her on the hook and let her cool for a while. Now if this big hairy thing tries to take your chick away, speak softly and tenderly, you may what you say. Yeah.
If you wanna be like out of sight now, then you gotta keep yourself uptight now.
And fly.
Oh, yeah. Keep your cool. Yeah. Now make them shiver at the top. Them dark sunglasses at night. Yeah.
So the obvious reason why I picked out this record is because it's so damn cool.
It's so mod.
And I'm so damn cool. Luckily.
Oh, wait, there's no room left in this car. His head is so huge.
And the reason we don't film this podcast is because you bending down trying to look for that 45 center, that spindle that we lost while we tried to play the record, didn't look that cool. So. But
oh, so you managed to pump yourself up and embarrass me in one.
That's
short
what
story.
We do, us married couple. I didn't remember how it sounded. Now I know why I picked it up.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, I love it. It's so mod. It's like reminds me of Caesar's pad. Hey man, like check out this groovy pad. You know that track?
Not familiar.
I can't remember who did it.
And it reminds me of a funky number called "Everything I'm Gonna Do Will Be Funky From Now On."
Oh yeah, yeah, I know that track.
So, yeah, a bit of a Barry White,
very cool
tone.
Very cool.
Right, so what did you pick up at Spike's?
I picked up quite a few things, in actual fact, but this one stands out. The Temptation Walk by the Entertainers 4, who, when I was putting this in on 45 Cat, I discovered they have some labels where they're called the Entertainers and there's just four dashes. Like, somebody didn't know what a Roman numeral 4 looked like.
Right.
But this one is Roman numeral IV for 4. And it's on the Doré label. So whenever I find something on the Doré label, I always give it a shot. And I was pleased with what I heard on this. So this is Temptation Walk by the Entertainers 4 on Doré.
Temptation walk, now what I say, walk, walk, walk.
So any of the tracks we played on this episode could have been spun at Keystone Weekender.
No, oh, for sure.
Don't you agree?
Yeah, for sure. And I know that that's like a typical dance track, but it's definitely got that flavor, you know, that works really well. Even though it's more of an R&B number.
Yeah, and more of a mid-tempo.
Yeah, which is always appreciated by dancers at these things because they you know, we were all a little older, and there was a lot of, like, I mean, I was really impressed with the number of people that were dancing as much as they did because I had about two songs in me before I was done. For at least a half an hour, I had to sit down.
Yeah, and we were all spritzing, schwitzing.
Schwitz.
Okay, there you go.
Schwitzing.
I'm not that good with my Yiddish yet. So.
You'll get there.
And
right as we pass Shuleyville.
Right. Exit 14.
For Shuleyville.
So, and if you think about it, there was a night that started early on Friday.
Yep.
And then Saturday, there was a Saturday afternoon set, and then a Saturday night, and then a Sunday afternoon set.
Yeah.
So we're talking hours and hours of, you know, obscure soul dancers. So you had to pace yourself, because if you started, you know, dancing like crazy on Friday, you couldn't make it through the weekend.
I mean, honestly, back in the day, it took Solis the week to recover from an all-nighter, one all-nighter, right?
And they had drugs.
Right, which was midnight to 6 a.m. was an all-nighter, pretty much.
Yeah, that's why the owl is the official
up all night.
The official animal of the Northern Soul Scene.
Yeah, that's right. So we got to, it was quite a drive, like that stretch from the Catskill to Lancaster. Was quite a drive.
And it started, you know, snowing, and it was dark. And we took a bunch of side roads, too.
Yeah, that's Google. Thank you, Google, for, you know, this is a shorter trip from A to B, but it was a weird little side streets. But, I mean, the architecture, the scenery, the houses, the scenery was so amazing. Like,
well, I didn't get
beautiful.
To enjoy it. My co-pilot here on my right did.
I did. I took it in. It was great. Like, all these colonial houses and beautiful brick buildings and just wonderful area. I absolutely have fallen in love with this area.
Full of history.
Yeah, but then we hit
except
Russia.
For those big-ass American flags.
What is the deal with those flags? Have you forgotten what country you're living in here? Like,
because they're about... they're the size of a house. How did...
They're enormous. It's like, where are we again? Oh, right, we're in the States, because I can see a flag 300 miles down the road. Wow, but...
We did make it.
We did, but we hit rush hour traffic
right too.
In the area around the New Jersey, New York
of course.
Area, because we were just on the outside of New York. Like, if we had turned left, we would have been in New York in half an hour.
Yeah, we would have seen the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty.
And so we were trying to get over to Pennsylvania and then eventually Lancaster, but that was made it grueling as well. It's like Patrick said that day, you know, we've been sitting down all day, but I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
from driving and we got there. We got to the hotel, which was much nicer than we thought it was going to be because it was pretty budget.
Yeah, it was a 2-star hotel because. That's my philosophy. Go for the 2-star so you have more money in your pocket to buy records.
And apparently record boxes. So
that too.
So we had to pretty much shower and change and go.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm hungry. And you said, I'm not hungry. I'm okay.
And oh, then, yeah. And I then, see where you're coming with this.
And then I'm like, okay.
Oh, well, there's going to be some food around there.
We'll go. So we get to the event. We're saying hi to people. This is great.
All our friends and a lot of people we follow on social media and through Facebook. All there.
It was awesome. It was like seeing all my Instagram feeds come to life. It was like
legends.
I knew all these faces from my Instagram. And
on Friday, my DJ set was was right after, Fast Freddy, the legendary Fast Freddy,
who from is a lovely guy
from New York.
I was really, really impressed with how lovely he was and cool too. Awesome. I love Freddy. He was great.
Remember, I told you just before while we were getting ready to go out on the town, I told you I'm going to be dubbed the
the hug dispenser.
The hug dispenser, because I have a reputation to uphold.
Yeah. Well, we're right at the front table, and I see Chaz, and then I'm like, I point at him, and he comes over. We
and
hug.
His lovely life, wife.
She wasn't there yet. It was just Chaz standing at that table, and then
Gibson.
As we walked in, there was Al. Big Daddy Soul himself standing there, and
with a grinning smile.
Yep, and Patrick, as he did the first time he ever met Al, hands. What did he say? Like you were stuck to a cross. Your hands are wide. Come on in, Al. We're gonna hug. And then he hugged him, and then I did too. And it was like we were BFFs
right away.
And
that's the thing about those weekenders. It's all like-minded people, and you all end up being a big whole family.
Yeah, that really, it really had that feeling for sure.
And of course, Gabe and David, the faces of the weekender.
Yeah, like showed proper up. Proper skins in their beautiful suits, and they're like looking sharp, like and hard too, like. A little scary looking, like if you don't know.
Yeah, but they're the sweetest
guys, right?
You'll ever meet.
Yeah. And then David and I hit it off tremendously right away, too. Hi, David. I'll be in touch, I promise.
So we hadn't had supper yet, right? And on our group chat, on the Keystone group chat, I saw, and if you've listened to this podcast before, you know that Sweet Daddy Soul has hot dogs coursing through his veins. and he had posted a photo of a place where he grabbed some hot dogs. And we had promised each other that during the weekend we'd have hot dogs. So I was sort of mad that he waited without me for having hot dogs.
And then so I'm writing and I'm saying, Patrick's really angry. He's driving angry. Because Al went to have hot dogs without
off.
Him. And then Al went, he kind of tried to change the subject by saying that he went to this antique mall next door and found like a 45 rack that, and I don't know, I haven't met him yet. I don't know him that well. We've chatted a few times online, and I'm like, should I, and then I'm like, nice rack, right away. And he's like,
that set the tone for the weekend.
Yeah, because he wrote back and said, everyone likes a nice rack. And
so as I prepare for my Friday night set, I'm on stage, getting ready. Sweet Daddy Soul shows up with a bag and, a styrofoam box inside, and he opens it up with two
hot dogs.
And
Patrick, go ahead.
Full of bacon And yeah, it's kind of dark. So
he comes over to me. I'm starving. He comes over to me with like his mouth full and like a poor little bit of a hot dog left. And I'm like, where'd you get that? And he's like, oh, Al brought it for me, but you can't have any. It's got bacon on it. And then he's...
So the thing is...
I got to tell this part.
Okay, you go.
I got to tell this part.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So
because
then,
he went to tell you. First.
Right. So he took these two hot dogs up on the stage, and then he comes up to... Al comes up to me later, and he goes, Patrick ate my hot dog. And I'm like, what? He goes, I brought him a hot dog, and I brought one for myself, and I went back to get mine, and he had eaten it. I'm like, what?
The thing is, I ate the first hot dog, and he never mentioned that we were getting one. And let's be honest, they were stone cold. Okay, but still,
whatever, man. I was starving.
I chomped it down, but the second one, I left it there for a while, and it's just getting colder, and I figured, well, okay, so he brought two hot dogs for me, because who just eats one? Certainly not me. So I start eating the second, and without.
But I can't have
twice.
It because it's got bacon on it.
So later on, you come and tell me, and you confess what Al told you.
Yeah, because I wanted you to feel bad.
And I did. And I did. So I revealed your personal conversation, and I told him, "Hey, Al, I'm sorry, I didn't know the second hot dog was yours. Why didn't you pick it up? It stayed there during my whole set, because I started eating it after my set, the second one. The first one I was too hungry." So it was
half an hour later. You were hungry, were you? You were hungry.
Oh, just a bit.
Jeez.
What were you?
I was starving.
So, a fight almost broke out, and people were picking sides. And
Al's like, hot dogs get better with age. Don't you know that?
So it was a great hot dog controversy of 2022.
Yeah.
Almost ended a friendship right there. But
two friendships. I was really starving. Did I not mention that?
So I begged Al to forgive me. That part is not true.
He's doing it right now. Just.
But as we say, it's just going to make the podcast.
Yeah, and honestly, it did sort of... in the end bring us all together, as it often tends to do when you have situations like that. We fought, and when we made up and now we're closer than ever,
and kisses.
So we had a really great time, but we were blasted. Like, by the end we were absolutely knackered.
And all throughout the weekend, so you had the great hall, the great Elks Lodge hall, with a wooden dance floor, big stage, chandeliers.
It was a dream Northern Soul location. Like,
yeah, you'd close your eyes, you'd think you were at Wicked.
You could see, like, that's been shrunk down.
And without the smell of fish and chips,
And Brute 33 dripping from the ceiling.
And, the side of the dance floor lined up with Adidas bags.
That was Adidas for all you English speakers out there.
As we say in Quebec, vraiment chez mon esti. So, that was... nobody will get that.
Oh.
So just outside the hall where the bar was, there was a wall of record dealers.
Yes.
And between, dancing and spinning and doing the splits, you go in and out of the ballroom. And
well, on the Friday night there was only one dealer there.
What was it?
Yeah, the other dealers were Saturday during the day, but the one guy that I bought the record from.
Oh yeah, you want to tell that
from
story?
From the UK. So there was one guy there, and I told myself I wasn't going to buy any more records. Which, who am I kidding? And I'm
up until like 2 hours ago, we were still buying records.
Yeah, and I was looking through his boxes that he had brought, and he said, well, look through these ones. These are the sort of more Northern Soul-y ones or whatever. And then I got one caught my eye, and I wanted to have a listen to it, and I loved it. And he's like, oh, that's super hard to find. That you never come across this. It's a little bit pricey. It was like $125. And I was like, well, I haven't bought an expensive record yet this trip.
R-A-R-E, rare.
Yes. So I bought it, and I'm happy I did. I'm certainly not regretting that. But that night when we got home to the Red Roof Inn.
Two stars.
Patrick fell asleep in about a minute and a half, 3 minutes.
Right, started snoring probably.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's how I know you're asleep. And then I started inputting all of my records into Discogs, and not only...
he has to do that at 2:30 a.m.
I have to do it right away. Because this is where if I don't, I'm going to forget to do it. Or I'm gonna miss a record later on, or, you know. But not only that, I have to also put it into 45 Cat so that my two collections match.
Oh, jeez. So we're not addicts for nothing. This is one of the symptoms of being a direct vinyl addict.
Yeah, well, because I'm... It's one of those people who stays up all night, so I've got the Northern Soul tattoo that says Northern Soul up all night, and so I'm not going to watch your we've said this before, so it's not a secret that Patrick needs the TV on when he's sleeping, but he needs it to be Talking Heads, which means I have to listen to
usually
hours
CNN or
CNN
MSNBC
and like American politics and
how
insanity,
you know, yeah, how that is, Trump is a crazy person,
which I just don't have any interest in. But so I listen
well,
to the records.
It knocks you out.
And,
that's why.
Yeah, I'd rather watch golf or bowling or something. But anyways, so I'm inputting it, and this record is maybe $60 American, and there's six of them for sale on Discogs.
You got screwed.
So, I should pull it out.
Yeah, because we're going to feature it right now.
So the record is called In My Arms to Stay by the Chanels, or Channels, I guess. It's C-H-A-N-N-E-L-L-S. Channels?
You're looking at me like I'm supposed to pronounce it
You're
in
a
French.
Teacher. You know these things.
Oh, right. Well, I know it's on Hit Records.
It is indeed on Hit Records. And it's a beautiful copy. And as you'll see, it's a great track. But there are six copies available on Discogs right now. So if you like it, you should buy it.
So that scream at the beginning was sort of the scream you let out when you saw that you overpaid for that record.
That's actually
when I jumped up in my bed and what the hell is going on, Marty? It's 3 a.m.
Okay. So, and then you hear sobbing in the corner. I could have bought another record with that difference. But that is a pretty great track.
Yeah, that's a screamer.
You cannot deny that that's pretty fantastic. So I really honestly don't have any regrets because listening to it, I would believe that that's a $125 record.
Yeah.
So
we're that addicted.
Yeah. And I mean it's funny because sometimes you just take their word for it. But the funny thing too was that he
there were British prices. That's the thing.
And maybe it is really hard to find in the UK. That's very possible.
That's the thing. European prices and prices you'd pay walking into a record shop anywhere in the States, it's two different worlds just because you can't find them in the UK. And it's understandable. So I sort of get it.
Yeah, I do too. And I don't besmirch, or that's not even the right word, but if you're listening to this, I don't want you to feel bad about it. I don't feel like you were trying to rip me off. I just noticed. But that Barbara McNair, so at the same time, what I discovered was that Barbara McNair, the track that I played you earlier, which I got in a stack of about 10 records for $20, is worth about $300.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, thank you, Ed. And sorry, although I did let you onto the value of Patrick's. So, anyways, But I
have to say that dealer had overpriced stuff.
And later on
during the weekend, he did say a few times, oh, don't discard the prices that are written. Don't worry about the prices.
That was a different dealer.
Was it?
Yeah, that was a different dealer.
Okay.
But
because he was British, too.
Yeah, but it did balance out. And it balanced out because I very much underpaid for many other records. So it definitely evens out throughout. Now, you didn't buy anything that night.
Not on Friday night.
No. So the next day...
I sort of felt dirty buying records on the first night because I felt like I needed to encourage the DJs that were spinning and went dancing.
Well, it didn't take me long to buy that record. I did go into the hall and dance. And
of course you did.
And I wanted to get there before anybody else did, right? So, But the thing is,
We always think that, you know, like during a record convention, oh, you have to get it there early, as we do. But you always end up at the end also finding deals and the dealers are willing to negotiate.
There's something psychological about the sense that you're missing. It's a total FOMO problem, you know, a fear of missing out.
Right.
And... That's exactly what it is. Like it's you think what did he get that I could have gotten if I'd gotten here before him? You know, mm-hmm. Although you've already like everything you've got in your hand is way over your budget, and that's how that works.
Yeah, so I bought my first record on Saturday. You know, Saturday afternoon, I believe.
That's right.
And we had just. You know, it's been a while since we haven't talked about food.
Oh, so should we talk about breakfast day two?
Oh, sure. You go ahead.
So
you had missed breakfast the day before.
I had missed breakfast the day before. I was frustrated, and I definitely wanted to have a proper breakfast. And we got up a little later.
You sleep in.
I know. See, that was the problem.
I was up an hour and a half earlier.
He gets up earlier than I do, and he let me sleep in too long. because not thinking, not being a breakfast person, you didn't think about the 11 o'clock cutoff. Right? I don't fault you that at all. This is my problem.
I'm not a breakfast fanatic.
No, I am.
Yeah.
Which now you understand.
Yeah, and we're getting a divorce over it.
So I'm looking for a place that I think is going to have, you know, all day breakfast.
Good American breakfast.
And I find DJ's 50s Diner. And yeah. I'm like, oh, well, DJ's perfect. 50 Diner, awesome.
It has our name written all over it.
We go over to DJ's and go inside, and it's like a beautiful replica of an old 50s diner with this stainless steel all over the place and the neon lights and the memorabilia and, you know, playing Dion and over the loudspeaker. And we sit down and pick up the menu and I'm like, oh, can't wait for this diner all day breakfast. Nope. Hamburgers and sandwiches.
Yeah, the breakfast I just finished.
Yeah. So I, you know, had a burger.
Which was good.
Yeah, but, well, it was mediocre.
Yeah.
You said so, too.
Well, it needed more fixins.
Yeah, but I needed spices in the patty. But we digress.
So, and as we sat down, we told each other that maybe we'd record an episode with some of the guests, which didn't end up panning out.
Unfortunately.
So I had brought with me pages of...
moldy oldies.
Named that fake moldy oldie. And I had few fake names and titles to come up with. So we're sitting at waiting for our burgers to arrive. And we come up with some, you know, the most common sounding titles and names and try to fool people.
And we
invented this title. Do you remember what the title was?
Left my heart on the doorstep or something like that.
Yeah, it sounded like a Perfect Soul title. So, you know, an hour later, I'm digging through boxes, and I pick out this record, and I just turn around and hand it to Marty just to see his reaction.
Don't slam the door on my heart. Which is like, whoa, could that be any closer?
You just bursted out laughing.
I'm like, so, oh my God, imagine if we had actually come up with this name of this record, it might have happened. We came so close.
So that's the record we're going to end off. Hopefully the part one of our road trip episodes. We don't know, because by the time we arrive in Montreal, we might be just too spent to do a part two. But
I don't know. Right now, I'm game. But
we might do it in the car too. So we'll see. So Marty, why don't you introduce our last song for this episode?
So
this
is
road trip episode.
Faye Simmons, "Don't Slam the Door on My Heart" on the Sonoa label.
And keep on keeping on.
Although you said we were